But what I'm not going to preach, I'm going to preach from the book of Philippians chapter 4. I wanted to preach on three things in life that will not lie to you. Number one, drunk people. They get drunk, they'll tell the truth somewhere along the line.
That's right.
Number two, little children. Right. They've got a unique way of telling the truth.
Right.
Your zipper's down or you have a booger hanging out your nose or something like that, they'll tell.
That's right.
But then number three, probably more importantly, yoga pants.
Ooh! Yeah!
Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. It's a joy to be here. I've enjoyed the word of God this morning. It's my goal this week. What was your name, young man?
Tim.
It's my goal to indoctrinate you on how to treat a label this week.
Right.
Amen.
So good.
Just sit there and be quiet. Yeah, that's right. You love them right, they'll follow you right.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that. All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 4, that's serious business. You love a woman, right? She'll follow you, right?
Good.
I had to have somebody get in my face to tell me that 20-something years ago.
Amen.
Just write that down in your Bible, so I don't ever forget that. One of the greatest Christians on planet Earth told me that from the pulpit, just like I'm talking to you today. It's like deja vu. Amen. Here I am. I'm getting to say to people what the man of God said to me.
Good.
Training me up. Amen.
Amen.
I've turned out to be a pretty decent husband, hadn't I, Mama? Don't lie. Amen. I'm just kidding. I love you. Thank you for the word of God this morning, Brother Zach. Thank you for that this morning. I appreciate you men to handle the word of God. And, Brother, I tell you, it's a serious thing in our day. Mm-hmm. You've got so many heretics.
That's right.
So many wannabes.
Yes, sir.
And we need God.
Amen.
We need God to touch us. Philippians chapter number 4. I may read more scripture this morning than some of you have read in a month. But would you bear with me in a lengthy portion of Bible reading?
Good.
Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 4. The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Fathers, I bound the wonderful divine presence of sovereignty. I love you. I bless you. Thank you for both these men that have gave us their heart this morning and the word of God. Thank you for the pastor and the invitation to be here. Now, I pray that you'll bless us and breathe on us with your power. And I pray that you'll revive us in this area that I'm going to preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated this morning. If I did read more scripture than you've read in a month, please get right with God.
Amen.
Now, let the book of Philippians. Amen. Now, the theme of the book of Philippians is that of joy. Now, Philippians is only 4 chapters long, and the Apostle Paul is in prison as he is writing this epistle. Now, if you study the action words of the book of Philippians, you'll soon come to the same conclusion that I did, that Paul is doing more in prison in 4 chapters than most of us will do in a lifetime. Amen? And one of these things that the Apostle Paul is doing is rejoicing. Now, that phrase, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, just simply means to rejoice all along the way. Every step we take in this life, every step we take in this journey, and every step we take on this path toward heaven, we need to be rejoicing. Now, that ain't always easy. That's easy preaching, hard to practice, but neighbor, it ain't always easy. There's been times I didn't want to rejoice. There's been times I didn't have no joy. There's been times, whether it been because of darkness, a valley, a trial, or my own sin, there have been times that my rejoicer was broken, and I wasn't using it, and we need a revival of rejoicing. And I want to preach on this simple subject this morning, on how to maintain your joy on our journey toward heaven. Good. And brother, I tell you, the Bible said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I tell you why Christians, they ain't got no strength today. It's because their joy has withered away. Their joy has walked away. Their joy has been sinned away.
Right.
I can hear Brother Sammy Allen say it now. Anybody in here got any joy today?
Right.
We ought to be the most joy-filled people on planet Earth. We're saved by the grace of God. Washed in the blood of Jesus. And there ought to be some joy in your heart.
That's right.
Amen. four simple points. I'll take a point from each chapter this morning. Four simple truths that I'd like to give you. By the way, the Bible said in Psalms 85, verse number 6, he said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Our text verse says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. He said, in the Lord. That's the key. We rejoice in the Lord.
Right.
We don't boast in our own flesh.
Amen.
We don't glory in our own flesh. We don't rejoice in our own righteousness. Everything we've got is in the Lord today. If you're saved, you've got it from God. If you're right with God, it's in the Lord. Everything we got is in the Lord. Now, number one today, chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." If you're going to have some joy, first of all, you're going to have to thank God. Anybody got anything in here I'd be thankful for today? Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Preacher.
If all you have today is what you thank God for yesterday, then how much would you have? Brother, I'm afraid it's bad. We're the most ungrateful people on planet Earth.
Right.
Amen. We're just going to live as long as God does. We're saved.
That's
born
right.
Again. Amen.
Right.
Not going to go to hell. We have got plenty to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
Right. Amen.
May I quote old Brother Buck Huntley? I don't know if you ever heard of the Huntley brothers up there in the mountains of North Carolina. But Brother Buck said it years ago. He said, if you thank God enough to hear him say, you're welcome. Brother, I believe we'll have revival when we get thankful.
Right.
The Bible
said
everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I just want to do the will of God today. I just want to be thankful. How many of you just saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
And you've got something to be thankful about.
That's right.
I was on my way to a party one night, December the 31st, 1995. I had a cooler full of beer, and I'm ashamed of it. Had already began to drink a little bit. And a buddy of mine came by my house and invited me to church. I said, "You're crazy. I ain't going to church. I'm going to drink the old year out and the new year in." He looked at me and said, "The women are cooking." And I said, "Really?" I said, "You ain't ordering pizza or nothing like that." He said, "No, they're cooking." And I've done eating homecoming over to that church before. And I said, "What time are they going to cook?" He said, "About 9 o'clock. I said, "Well, the party don't get started until 11 anyways. I'll go the first part of the service. And then I will eat. And I will go to the party." But brother, I got up in that place. And that first preacher, he preached against drinking. He preached against doping. He said, and this is what he said. He said, "You bunch of hell raisers, it's going to hell without God."
That's right.
"You live like hell, you'll die like hell, and you'll burn in hell." And brother, I knew I was in trouble that night. Brother, I tell you, God put me under conviction.
I
went back to the prayer room, and they prayed for me to be saved by the grace of God.
Right.
And long story short, about midnight that night, I called on God. I got on an altar. I never made it to the party. And Jesus saved my soul.
Amen.
By the good grace of God.
Amen.
I got something to be thankful about.
Yes, sir.
Now, some of you ain't never drank. You ain't never smoked dope. You ain't never done drugs. Amen. But yet you got under conviction one day. Y'all do believe in conviction, don't you?
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
God showed you his laws and going to hell. And you repented and put your faith in Christ and submitted to the Lordship of God. And you got saved. You ain't got to be a doper. You ain't got to be a drunkard.
That's right.
Amen. Matter of fact, there are those of you in this place, you've never been to a party, you've never been to a bar, you don't know what beer tastes like, but yet you got saved. You know how much more I like your testimony better than I do mine. I want all three of my children to have one just like you. Ain't got to be a doper, ain't got to be a whoremonger. What I'm simply trying to say is that we've got to be thankful for what Jesus did for us. Just like that old leper in Luke 17, when he saw what was done unto him, I didn't know everything I was getting into.
Right.
The night I got saved. But the more light God reveals to me, and day by day, and year by year, that God opens up my eyes and lets me see how saved I am. How in the world can I not say thank you, Jesus, and with a loud voice, turn back and glorify God.
Right. right, preacher.
That's glory. His holy name. We glory. Don't like to be thankful for.
Amen.
If you want to fix the joy, get the joy back in your heart. Can I give you some good advice? Today after church and we get done eating, and I'm not going to preach long, I'm starving to death. Amen. I'm ready to eat right now. But anyways, go to your house and get along. Find you a room where there ain't nobody looking or listening. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry for every sin I'm guilty of. I ask and confess every bit of it. And when you get done confessing your sins, I'm talking about systematically go through your house and thank God for everything you got. Amen. And thank God for the clothes in the cupboard, right. And the closet and the food in the cupboard, and the rug on the floor and the roof over your head.
Good advice.
I say go to your children's bedroom and thank God. Amen. For a good healthy youngin and a precious wife or a precious husband. And thank God for every Bible you got. And thank God for every blessing you got. Thank God for the financial blessings.
Hey,
and the spiritual blessings. And the the material blessings. Thank God for church and health. And to be able to come to the house of God.
Right. Thank God, that's good.
I preached
good.
In Africa this year. Y'all believe they let me go over there? You spoke about Africa. I went over to Uganda and we preached. I walked in the building this morning and I said, somebody's turned the heat on in here. Amen. It's a burning up. Amen. And boy, I got to think it's shame on me for complaining. I've been to them churches in third world countries where they didn't have no heat to turn up.
That's right.
They didn't have no air conditioning. Brother, do you realize I was in my 20s before I ever lived in a home that had push button air conditioning. Amen. We had lived in an old log cabin, made 1924. And brother, I tell you, cracks in the floor big enough you'd throw a cat through. Now, this is before I got saved, but we got whoopings for spitting in between the cracks. Amen. And brother, same man right there. Hey, some of y'all still do. You don't have to look at me like this. But anyways, Brother Vernon, I can tell you, I think about that. The house I live in now has got two toilets, two showers. I mean, it's got an upstairs and a downstairs. Hey, man, we got two creeks on the front. Hey, man, I'm living better than my parents ever lived.
That's right.
I got more money
than
my parents ever had.
Yes, sir.
I'm not rich by any means, and I'm not like Brother Zach. I need your money, and I take your money. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to compromise to do it.
Amen.
Amen to God. I tell you what I'm simply trying to say. Do you have a thankful heart today? Have you thanked God for anything?
That's good, preacher. Amen.
Let me condense this first point before I get hung up here and stay all day.
Right.
Amen. He said, I think it's the people blessings that God puts in our lives. Paul wouldn't say thank God for the money, though he was. Paul went and said, thank God for a good place to sleep, though he was thankful. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Aren't you glad God puts people in our lives?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Before I labor this, let me remind you, when God saved Simon of Cyrene there at Calvary, and if you're saved, that's where you got saved by faith too. He got saved at Calvary.
Amen.
God, I feel like preaching a little
good.
Bit. He got saved. Guess who was near him? It wasn't too far off. That Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, they wasn't too far off. And the three Marys, according to Brother Ivor Powell, represent faith, hope, and charity. That's what I'm simply trying to tell you. Is it when God sends somebody, I'm telling you, God will put people in your life to lead you, to feed you, to read you. And God, my beloved friend, puts people in our lives.
Right. Thank God.
Now, a convicting note is that God puts us in people's lives.
Yes, sir.
Whether you like it or not, God put me in your life this week.
That's right.
And whether I like it or not, God put you in my life this week.
That's right.
And it's not going to come. It should never come with an attitude of superiority.
Right.
Brother, I'm going to go over here and try to help Noah. I'm going to come over here and see, man, and I hate to be selfish like this, but in my heart, it ain't about necessarily me helping you, man, but it's about you being a blessing to me and us being a blessing one to another. Aren't you glad for the people that God put in
Yes,
your
sir.
Life?
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Here's a little side note. Study this out. Ephesians chapter 4, 1, 2, and 3. Brother Zach, that's our positional truths for the most part in Christ. But Ephesians chapter number 4, 5, and 6, the Spirit-filled life. He said, chapter 4, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 6, to pray in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen. Brother, I tell you, there's an underlying thing you don't see there. It's the people we serve God with. In chapter number 4, it's the people we go to church with. In chapter number 5, it's the people we live with. And in chapter number 6, it's the people we go to war with. Not against, but with.
Good.
And brother, I want to thank God for those people that used to take us up on the mountain. I was over at Brother Grady Brown's house the other day. And Grady taught my brother how to pray. And he took us to pray. Well, these people, when we got saved, they pulled us up under the wings. And brother, old brother Mickey Hardy was giving me tapes and teaching me to pray. Amen, the men of God. And Brother Sammy Allen, his picture's on the back wall. I got saved in December the 31st of 95 and met that man in May of 1996. Him and Brother Stinny Blue at the same time. Two of the best friends and the best mentors that God ever gave me. And I thank God for the people.
Amen.
That he put in my life.
Exactly right.
Well, I can just take time right now. And we joke, and we got to be careful how we joke, because these women is a whole lot more sensitive than most men, unless you're some kind of a feminine sissy, amen?
Right.
You're born with your feelings on your shoulders, and you wear those sissy breeches and turtlenecks and all that bunch of junk, say amen right there. But anyways, I'm talking about, I want to thank God for my wife.
Right.
The people we live with.
That's right.
You got a saved wife that loves God and follow you across the country like our wives have, Brother McVeigh. We ought to be rejoicing about that.
Amen.
I mean, I've not got no sad stories to say, but how many of you women that like to spend the majority of your time stuck in a van? Amen. And ain't never been a van of a man and a woman with little children that didn't stink like the sewer. Can I get an amen right there?
That's a good impression.
That right? But man, I tell you, I look across my 22 years of being married. Brother Zach, my wife ain't never complained. She ain't never murmured. Brother, when it was time to go, she'd go. When it was time to stay, she'd stay. Brother, God's blessed me with a good, faithful bride. Don't let this go to your head, honey. I'm just thankful God blessed me with you. And I tell you right now, you've got a good wife and you've got a good husband. Hey, been some of you women ain't never struck a lick on a job since you've been married. Your husband made a promise to God he wasn't going to let you work. Times ain't always been good, you ain't always been rich and had enough money. Yeah, we've had to sacrifice because we've done the biblical thing. That works, say amen right there.
Amen.
But you've got a husband that loves you enough.
Good.
I hope I ain't hit a stump right here.
Oh, you're all right.
Amen, God. And your husband's kept you at home. And yes, you've had to feed them. Yes, you've had to cook.
Good.
Yes, you've had to clean. But you've got a man that's been faithful to you at lunch.
Amen.
And supplied the needs. You've got something to thank God for.
That's right.
Amen. I've got 3 healthy children. And I don't advise this.
Good.
But don't get mad at me, all right?
No.
But, and if you believe different, that's fine. It ain't worth falling out of. Before I got married, I believe you're going to have all the children you could have. I mean, have 15 or 20 of them. I got married, I still believe it. We had our first child, I still believe it. I still don't get mad at me because some of y'all ain't going to agree with me on this, but that's okay. And then God blessed us to have 2 at one time. I changed my doctrine, okay? Don't get mad, or at least I'm honest, all right? I mean, 3's enough for me. Can I get a witness right there? And by the way, it ain't none of your business how many children I have or don't have. It ain't none of my business how many you have or don't
good.
Have. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
And brother, I tell you, God, we had, here it is. We had 2 at one time, where my wife had 2 at one time. These old boys said, we're expecting. No, you're not. Your wife is, all right? And every time my wife had, here's something to thank God for, brother. Every time my wife gave birth, I said, thank God I'm not a woman. Is that honest enough? I'm talking about being thankful. God bless, he answered prayer. Brother McVeigh, God blessed us with 3 healthy babies.
Wonderful.
3 healthy babies.
Wonderful.
And your children, can I just be honest with you? There is the exception to the rule of what I'm fixing to say. Your children might not ever be exactly everything you want them to be. And they might lack in some areas. But don't never let that the good that outweighs the bad. Don't get that bitter mentality that they got one or two little old things that just really drive you crazy, that you forget about the blessing that they are.
That's right.
Come on now in here. Hey, but I'll tell you right now, a lot of times we get bitter toward the blessings of God, or the blessings will turn into a burden. Oh, but man, get your eyes on the blessers and the blessings of God. We've got a lot to be thankful for.
Right.
And the people we have go to church with, and the people we live with, have been the people we go to war with.
Yes, sir.
There have been a few battles in my day that there were some men in my corner.
Right.
But had they not been in my corner, I don't know if we would have survived the fight.
Right.
I tell you, it's been about 9 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my living room, and I told my wife, I said, the Holy Ghost just told me to endure hardness as a good soldier. I didn't know 6 months, 9 months down the line, we was going to go through one of the biggest fights and one of the biggest battles, probably the biggest I have ever experienced in my life. I'm talking about it broke out. It was rough. It was raunchy. It was nasty.
Yes, sir.
And it took years to overcome it. We're still overcoming it.
Yep.
But neighbor, they was some men. I'm telling you, I was ready to throw in the towel. I was ready to quit. Oh, Brother Zach, you went up to the camp meeting. And brother, I tell you right now, I was ready to shut that thing down. Amen, and just call it quits. But there's a couple of men got up under. One got under this side, one got under this side. And carried me through one of the lowest times of my life. How in the world could I turn my back on those men? Those men and women that prayed for us in hard times. When we wasn't even thinking about them, they was thinking about us. And prayed us through some hard times. Brother, we got something to be thankful for. Thank God. If you're going to maintain some joy, you've got to get thankful.
God has blessed us.
Right.
He truly has blessed us with people in our lives.
Right.
Well, if I was going to labor this point right here, amen. He said, that's Paul. I thank God. Thank my God. That's the person doing the thanking. That's the Apostle Paul right there saying, by the grace of God, ought to have been in hell.
Right.
If anybody ought to be in hell, it ought to be Paul.
Right.
My goodness, he considered unto the death of Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a Pharisee of Pharisees. I don't want to get my powder wet, and I may preach on it this week, but he was the biggest minister of Satan that ever lived in that day.
About that.
But he was the devil's favorite tool.
About
that. Paul, whatever you wanted to call him. Amen, the same person. He'd pull old Paul out every chance he got. You know, that crowd of Pharisees that get pebbles in their pockets, y'all know that, didn't you? And they'd carry a white pebble and a black pebble in. And when it come voting time on whether they're going to let the Christians live or die, whoever, they'd pull out the white pebble, and that's how they voted. I promise you, the black pebble in Paul's pocket was wore out. That white one never got used. It was die. You talk about deceit. Oh, but then one day on the road to Damascus, God said, you've had him long enough, Satan, and reached down and pulled him out of the mess. And the pit and the sewer and the trash and redeemed that man that ought to have been in hell. And when Paul says, I thank him, you better know he meant it.
Right.
Bless his holy name.
Amen.
That's the person doing the thing, but then there's the person we're thanking. It ain't saying thank you to Joe Biden or President Trump. Somebody said something about Joe Biden this morning. I tell you, I agree with my king standing here today. If you're a Democrat, you ain't going to like me for this week's out, all right? I'm the same man right there. And, but anyways, brother, I tell you, I'm talking about thanking President Trump. I'm not talking about thanking your favorite celebrities. I'm not talking about famous people. I seen somebody famous one day. I forget who it was. Man, everybody's jumping up and down. So-and-so's out in the parking lot. And ain't you going to get excited? And I just said, hey, man, look, once you've met Jesus, it don't matter who it is. Everybody else has got to take back seat. Hey,
amen.
Right. And brother, but we're not just thanking the mayor or thanking necessarily the pastor. We love you, pastor. But I'm talking about the one who put the breath of life in us.
That's right.
I'm talking about the one whose blood redeems and regenerates and the power.
Thank God.
That's what I'm going to thank God.
Right.
And then, well, if we labor this, maybe I'll work to it. Maybe I'll just preach a series on it, but I don't believe that'd be the Lord's will. amen, the memories. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Mm-hmm. Every remembrance. Yes, well, we got memories, don't we?
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. I won't labor that. We got the ministry that we have to the people. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the ministry the people have to us? Mm-hmm. Are you thankful?
It's good, boy.
Man, I know that's awkward for you, Brother Zach, having that money pinned on you. And we joke, and we crack jokes about it. But you keep going. God's called you to preach. One day you may be living off the ministry
that's right.
others have toward you.
That's right.
God may bless you to pastor sometime.
That's right.
Whatever.
That's right.
And we got the boy humbling when a little old boy, 2 or 3 year old boy, walks up to you and gives you a dollar bill.
Yes, sir. Right.
Said, I've been saving this for months, and I know you just come to preach revival meeting, and I want to give it to you. You well, can't turn that down. You can't turn that down.
Lord,
you can't turn that away. Brother, I tell you, the suit on my back, the cars, the tires. I mean, yes, we work a job back home, and I'm not ashamed to be a I'm a full-time preacher and a bivocational worker, I guess, if I put it that way. Part-time worker. I'm not ashamed to get up in the morning and put my work boots on and go make a living. For it don't bother me one bit. That don't upset me. I've never got upset at that. Right. Matter of fact, I love it.
Thank God for it.
Sir.
Thank God for work when I'm not preaching. Thank God.
Amen.
What a blessing. But boy, I tell you, the people that God has used in our lives.
Sir, buddy.
Pay our bills.
That's right.
Lord, put clothes on our children's back, diapers on their rear ends. Praise God. It's been a blessing. God put these. Thank God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I mean, I believe that you ought to have a balance. I go to some meetings and that's all they got's a shout. They ain't got no truth.
Right.
I get around some people. That's all they got's emotions and they ain't got no truth. Then I get around the other crowd. But all they got's truth.
Right.
They ain't got no spirit.
That's right.
Bible said we're to worship God in truth and in spirit.
That's right.
Too much spirit, not enough truth, you'll blow up. Too much truth and not enough spirit, you'll dry up.
Yes, sir.
Just enough truth and just enough spirit, you'll grow up.
Right.
Right.
And if you ain't balanced on either one of them, it makes me want to throw up. But where's the world? There's a thankfulness. I never forget my mama. My mama took me and my boy, my brother, not my boy, but me and my brother. She took us down to Lake Summit when we was boys. And boy, we growed up, I'm just telling you, if it was out there in the summer, we was going to be at a river or a lake or somewhere. We was going to be fishing or swimming. I mean, that's just how we growed up. And one day, my mama took me, that man, my brother, down to Lake Summit. We was swimming off the boat docks and swimming off the boat ramp. And a man she went to school with showed up, and he had his two boys. And I probably wasn't 7, 8 years old. Matthew was probably about 5 or so. And he had his two boys. And his youngest boy was the smallest and the youngest out of all of us. So he may have been 3 and a half, 4, somewhere in there like that. And we was all swimming, and Mama got to talk to that man, and he wasn't paying attention. She wasn't paying attention. And I just caught him out of the corner of my eye. He had stepped off the boat dock and was in over his head. Brother Tim, all he could do is barely get 3 little fingers up out of the water. And I remember it like it was yesterday. The bubbles coming out of his mouth. And you could see through the water, and you could hear him. You couldn't hear him, but you could see his lips screaming, "Help!" And he was trying to talk underwater. And all I did was I went over there and I reached and I grabbed those 3 fingers and I picked him up and I set him down where he wasn't in over his head. Brother, he got him a big old gulp of air. Brother, he was crying. He went running for his daddy. And brother, he got halfway between me and his daddy, and all of a sudden, his daddy didn't know what was going on. And before he ever told his daddy what, he turned around and came back to me and looked at me and said, "Thank you, mister." Buddy, I got to thinking about that after I got saved. How in the world do I not turn around and say, "Thank you, Jesus."
Right.
He did more than save me from drowning in a lake. He saved us from hell.
Amen.
Thank God.
That's good, Lord. Preacher.
Hey, if you're going to fix you. But then number two, I'll just try to mind the Holy Ghost, Pastor.
That's fine.
The people we're thankful for. We thank God for his members. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for the men he put in his life. Thank God for the mercy of Christ.
Yes, sir.
The word mercy, is mentioned twice. Mercies mentioned twice in the book of Philippians, if I counted right. You know, the grace of God's given us what we do not deserve. That's the gift we didn't deserve. But you know, the mercy of God is God keeping us from getting what we do deserve. That gulf in hell that used to be there before Jesus took paradise out and took the Old Testament saints out, there was a great gulf that separated them from paradise and from hell. Great gulf!
Yes, sir.
You know, everybody in hell could see, or paradise could see hell. They could hear hell, but they couldn't feel it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That gulf was a gulf of judgment for those in hell, but a gulf of mercy for those in paradise.
Amen.
Every day of their lives, they saw what Amen. They deserved and knew they should have been over there. But God had mercy on them. Lord, I tell you, every one of us ought to be in hell.
That's
today.
Right.
But the mercy of God,
That's
those
right.
angels, brother, whether you believe this or not, those angels that were sent to those of us that were heirs of salvation, according to the book of Hebrews, God was protecting us before he ever saved us.
That's right.
And it don't matter
believe
what
that.
You believe about the providence of God. Remember, there's an unseen hand. There's been a God providence. Amen. Even when we were lost, amen, kept us alive. Long enough to hear the message. Long enough for us to get saved. And the providence of God and God's mercy.
Yeah. Right.
25 when you got saved?
Yes, sir.
Should have been in hell a million times before you got there, shouldn't you? Oh, boy, I don't know what kind of life you lived. I don't need to know, don't have to know. But I look back on my life before I met Jesus, and I'm just being honest. The times with the stupid stuff
That's right.
we did.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't want my children knowing the junk I did before I got saved. The only reason I mention some of it is to magnify the grace of God.
Right.
I dare not go into details about my past. I dare not bring it up. The only reason I do on a small level is to magnify the grace of God.
Amen, sir.
Y'all promise you won't hold this against me? It don't matter if you do, that's fine. Sometimes I get in some places. In evangelism, sometimes I get into some places.
That's right.
That if I would have known, I wouldn't have accepted the invitation. I'm not talking about this non-denominated. If it ain't got Baptist on the sign, I ain't going, all right? Don't get mad at me about that. But I got in one here recently. And you talk about contemporary. I mean, I'd rather hear a fat baby burp as I would hear this contemporary music. Now, don't give me that junk.
That's right.
Ray Bolts is a sodomite. He's going to hell, and I don't hear nothing he's got to say.
That's right.
I don't care how scriptural their songs are. I don't care how much content they got.
That's right.
If a sodomite wrote it, I'm not singing it.
That's right. Good.
That's it.
I get in this place recently, and a bunch of people have gotten saved. And before I got there, the pastor told me, now, Brother John, you're going to see some junk. We've had a bunch of people get saved. I haven't had, he said, we're still in the revival meeting. The evangelist got sick. He said, I've done 100 and some odd people said they got saved. And it wasn't, and I had friends there, and they assured me it wasn't that easy prayerism job. God just sat down in a place and started saving young people. I mean, and they have not been discipled. And here they are standing, all they know is going to the football field, listening to the contemporary singing at their school and standing around with their hands up waving back and forth.
Right.
That's all they know. And they did it in that church service. And the Lord wouldn't let me rebuke them. But let that pastor teach them and lead them because he's going to.
It's good.
And I got to preaching on not only God forgiving our sins, but God forgetting them. Sins and iniquities, well, I remember no more. And brother, I got to talking about what the blessing is that God does it has sovereignly and providentially. He's got a divine forgiver. Wish I had one.
Right.
I wish I could choose what I could remember. And that's great. I bless the Lord that God don't remember. sometimes God, or not God, but the devil will bring up our past. Right. Don't you forget, our past has no power over us.
That's right.
When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, I'm chasing 40 rabbits today.
That's fine.
When the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea and the Red Sea swallowed up them Egyptians, the Bible said their bodies washed up on the seashore. Reckon one of them little old Israelite boys looked at his dad and said, "Hey, Daddy, ain't that the one that put the scars on your back?"
Right.
"Yes, son, that's him. He cussed you out in front of mama the other day, didn't he?" "Oh, yeah, that's him. He hated your guts, didn't he?" "Yeah, that's him." I can imagine that little old Israelite boy going over and kicking and saying, "Daddy, he ain't going to whoop you no more. He ain't going to cuss you no more." Why? Because he's dead. And neighbor, you talked about whoever it was, us being dead. We are dead, and our past is dead to us.
That's right.
Right.
That's exactly
right.
Break it
up. Crucified. Right. I'm telling you right now, people dragging a dead past around. You need to get over that.
That's
past.
Right.
It's been forgiven. It's been forgot.
Yes, sir.
I was in that meeting. This is an amazing thing to me. I was in that meeting. And I think me being here with what your pastor believes on separation and the standard, I think that says enough to work. You know what I believe about it? Does that say enough?
No.
I believe a man ought to dress like a man and a woman ought to dress like a woman.
Amen. Amen.
Won't never be the will of God the ladies put on the breeches and the men put on the dresses.
That's right.
Never be the will of God.
That's right.
So don't take what I'm fixing to say wrong. This old girl had never been trained on how to dress.
Mm-hmm.
She comes down, she's got a sports shirt on, she's got jogging pants on. She gets in the altar. And brother, it's been a long time since I've seen somebody act like this. She got to weeping and crying. I mean, she's down there, she's broken. And the pastor said, "Ain't no telling what God's doing for that girl." I said, "Well, preacher, you know her. Go down there and pray with her." He goes down there and prays with her. And he comes back up. I said, "What was she praying about?" He said, "Brother John, I never heard nobody tell me this. That little girl told that pastor, then told me out of church. She said, I knew God forgave me. But nobody ever told me he forgot about what I did before I got saved." And she just sit there with a stare off into the glory world, man.
Right.
On the altar, just everybody, "What do you need? What do you need?" And she's like, "He forgot." I don't know what she did before she got saved. But when she found out that God not only forgave her, but God forgot it. Brother,
amen.
You know what I believe? I believe that would make a Presbyterian kick a back into the choir room, man. That's how it's a shame, sanctified madness.
If
the whole time, Holy Ghost Bible doctrine,
right,
ought to be in hell. But here we are, shame.
Amen. Right.
Trying to get me to shout. No, I ain't gonna waste my time trying to get you to shout.
That's right. You can't get a bunch of dead Baptists to shout.
You're doing a fine job sitting there picking your nose and eating
your book. Son, he picked us. Amen.
I preach on what people are shouting or not. But I'll tell you, my heart is full this morning.
Son,
I've got so much to thank him for.
Amen.
I've got so much to praise him for.
That's right.
See, God's been good to me.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Lord. That's the message this morning. I got 3 more points, Pastor, but I don't believe God wants me to go on.
Yeah.
And we stand all over the building. I don't know. You want to have an invitation, what you want.
Amen. That's Jason.
My God, I'm done preaching, man. But I tell you what, it'd be a good morning to do. It'd be a good day to get around these altars and not ask him for a thing. Just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." So that's how we're going to close, Pastor. You come, I'm done preaching.
Amen.